It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Kamala Harris and her word salads have a new rival. AOC, better known by those who actually listen to the stuff she says as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Well, she went to the Munich conference last week for the purpose of calling Trump evil and bringing attention to her own viewpoints. She has since tried to clean up the disaster by saying she has no interest in running for president. None at all. Yeah, right. Sure she doesn't. And women who enter the Miss America contest have no interest in winning. She was there with Newsom and Whitaker, who also have presidential ambitions and also made fools of themselves, but no one could surpass AOC. She condemned the kidnapping of Maduro, saying Trump has no right to do such things to another country just because it's below the equator. Only one thing, Venezuela is above the equator. She accused Israel of genocide, and she did this in Germany. In Germany, the country that waged a true genocide against the Jews called the Holocaust. She criticized Marco Rubio, even though his words at the same conference, compared with hers, wouldn't even show up in the same stratosphere. She corrected him for saying that horses and cowboys in America originally came from Spain, making it clear that this was simply not true. But she forgot one little detail. They did come from Spain. But by far, the brightest, shiniest moment was when she was asked about Taiwan. Let's listen in.
Should the U.S. actually commit U.S. troops to defend Taiwan if China were to move?
I think that this is such a, I think that this is a, a very longstanding policy of the United States. And I think what we are hoping for is that we want to make sure that we never get to that point. And we want to make sure that we are moving in all of our economic research and our global positions to avoid any such confrontation and for that question to even arise.
Okay, to be fair, she was caught off guard a little. Even a deer doesn't expect to encounter headlights. Maybe we should give her a second chance to answer again. Take another shot, AOC.
I think that this is such a, I think that this is a, a very longstanding policy of the United States. And I think what we are hoping for is that we want to make sure that we never get to that point. And we want to make sure that we are moving in all of our economic research and our global positions to avoid any such confrontation and for that question to even arise.
Many are saying that AOC's performance in Germany has sealed her political fate. They say she can't possibly run for president now. Let me tell you something. She could not only run, she could win. It doesn't matter how stupid she is. In fact, to those who would be behind the curtain really running things, the stupider the better. That's how they prefer it. Do you think they want a president who thinks for herself? They were delighted with Biden, who, even long before his mental illness, was never the sharpest tool in the shed. Make no mistake, so long as there are stupid people, they can vote in stupid candidates. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. It's always an honor to be joined by Ruth Wise with Election Integrity Project. Ruth, welcome back to our program.
Great pleasure to be back with you, Bob. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, all kinds of stuff is going on in the news, from the SAVE Act to, and I guess today, another assassination attempt on Donald Trump. People are saying, well, he wasn't at Mar-a-Lago. Maybe the person that came there was there to do something else. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he wanted to shoot the guy in charge of the koi pond or the janitor. I'm sure he wasn't after Trump. But meanwhile, it seems like God has spared Trump's life from all these things and spared him for a critical time in the history of our nation, not the least of which is election integrity. And that's what we want to talk about today, from the SAVE Act nationally to all kinds of things going on locally right here in California. So take it away, Ruth.
Well, thank you, Bob. I know that you've spoken before with your listeners about the SAVE Act, but I'm going to clarify some things for people who may not have listened. First of all, I have some very optimistic feelings that this will pass, and a lot of people are
despite
feeling...
Despite the filibuster?
Yes, I do.
How are they going to pull that off?
I'll explain that.
Okay, that's great.
But this is passed by the House a couple of times.
It has passed the House.
A couple of times.
It's the Senate that's the...
And the element, there are three elements to this law, the Save America Act. The first element is that it will require proof of citizenship when you register to vote. The second is that it will require photo ID at the moment of voting, and then there'll be some accommodation for the vote by mail ballots. It'll be some piece of information under the flap or something. And then the third element is to clean up the voter rolls that with the people that are already registered within a year to go use all the possible federal databases to determine people who are on the rolls and should
so
not
that
be.
Someone who died in the 1800s can't resurrect from his grave and vote in a Democrat.
More importantly, to determine the citizenship of people on the rolls. So yeah. And I think what's important about this bill, besides the fact that it's long overdue, is that across the board, across all races, all ethnic, all social elements, everything, this has a popularity between 80 and 85% of the American public.
Even amongst African Americans,
yes.
Who the people they're always claiming to protect, saying this is Jim Crow too.
67%.
And I heard that this weekend, there are people in New York City that want to volunteer to work for the city government to shovel snow. Mondami says they need to have 5 different forms of ID to shovel snow, but he doesn't believe you should show any ID to vote. It just staggers the imagination.
And that's why their argument really breaks down. It's offensive. It's insulting.
It's insulting to the people.
It's insulting.
Say that, yeah.
And
an African-American isn't capable of getting a license.
They have been sticking to the fact that, okay, if you're a person of color, it's harder for you to get a piece of ID, which is insanity.
You need one to buy beer, to rent an apartment, to hop on an airplane.
to collect public benefits.
To get into the DNC National Convention.
Or any federal office.
Yeah.
So yes, it's completely insulting and obviously very hypocritical. But also now, just recently is the first time I've heard this one. Oh, well,
they're protecting women.
For women to vote.
Because if they get married, they're going to have to change it. Women do that every day. And what an insult to women. I'm not a woman, but I would be very insulted if I was listening to this.
And they have absolutely no qualms about saying, but everybody has to get a real ID. And what did I have to do when I got my real ID? I had to prove that I was the same person on my birth certificate as I was the person on my driver's license with a maiden name and a married name. It was not difficult to do. And it's just
And most women have done this already. It's not like they're going to suddenly have to scramble and do this before
exactly.
they vote. Most people have done that already.
So that's the first reason I really feel optimistic about the potential of this passing, simply because they cannot forever go against 85% of the public.
Well, one thing I'm thinking of, it's true that in the polls and even amongst most Democrat voters, voter ID is very popular. But the reason the Democratic politicians want fraudulent elections is they really don't care about what their own Democrat constituents want. They want to bring in illegal people to vote and promise them all this stuff. So they're recognizing that they're not popular with the American people. So they're trying to bring in not sure they really care what the polls say.
But I didn't say that they cared. I'm just saying you can't fight City Hall forever. It's just a point of no return, right? So that's one of the reasons that I really feel optimistic.
So you think the Democrats themselves will go along and will finally get a 60 majority without the filibuster?
No,
going
I don't. But the pressure is very, very strong. It's one of the things that we're working hard to do in Election Integrity Project California is to get people to put pressure on Senator Thune because he has all the power here.
Yeah, he could get rid of that.
And originally he wanted nothing to do with this bill. And now suddenly he's one of the co-signers. And what he has to do is simply say, we're going back to the real filibuster, which is called the standing filibuster.
Yeah, filibuster was supposed to mean you keep talking all night.
Exactly.
Thing is, some of those Democrats would be delighted to talk all night.
But there's a limit to that, you know?
Yeah.
You can only speak twice on a single topic. So it may take 3 weeks for all of them.
Oh, and then they finish it, and then they would have to move on.
Then they would have to be able to hold the boat, and 51 votes would pass the bill.
So why haven't they ever done it that way? Filibuster's just been grandfather clause into this, we don't have the votes, and it's never been a real filibuster.
Because this zombie filibuster is very convenient for both sides. All you have to do is say, okay, I'm going to filibuster this bill, and they just pull the bill then and say, okay, it's being filibustered.
Because they don't want to stay up all night.
And they can continue on with the other business of the chamber. Whereas if you've got a standing filibuster going, everything else stops. And that was what Thune was first saying, is that, well, but we have some really important transportation bills, these other things that we can't take a 3 week hiatus to leave them alone while we play out this filibuster. But I think eventually the pressure on him is getting pretty strong now. And I think it will be strong on him to say, okay, I'm going, he will not nuke the filibuster. He will not get rid of it, but he will put it back to a real filibuster.
If they did it the way it's supposed to be done, and it really has to come to a conclusion, that would be fine.
And that's what I anticipate. Yes. Yeah. So that's why I'm optimistic. I don't know that it'll happen the next week, but I really believe that's where it's going to wind up. What I want people to understand, you know, as much as everyone's in favor of the Elements of the Save Act, please understand this is not going to affect state and local elections.
They'll still do whatever the heck they want.
Yes. State and local can be as corrupt and as the people will allow them to be.
Well, wait. If there's a national law that we have to have voter ID, don't states... On paper, the states have to go along with it, but you're saying they'll find a way to circumvent it.
No. What I'm saying is that the Congress can only make a law that impacts the election of federal officials. So the Save Act
It'll help the presidential election.
Presidential and both houses of Congress.
It won't help us with the governor.
That's exactly correct. So
if I can point it out super quick, I told you last week that Carl DeMaio, of all people, is doing petitions right now to introduce a bill into the state Senate itself to do an act that's similar to the
similar
Save
to
Act
the Save
for,
Act.
For
it's
local
almost,
and state government.
It's almost identical to the Save Act.
And does that have a chance of passing, the California version?
I don't want to say yes or no, because again, California elections are rigged. And
no!
And they just,
California? No!
Yeah, because if you look at quite a few other things that either failed or passed, and you know that that's not really how the people vote. voted. So, you know, there could be enough shenanigans happening that even a bill as popular as Carl's bill may not. What I'm anticipating is that the governor will play the same game he played last election with the bill that qualified for the ballot, and then he didn't want the people to vote on it because it was so popular. It was a Prop 13 protection or something. And so he found some corrupt way to get it through the courts and get the courts to pull the bill from the ballot so that the people didn't get to weigh in.
Well, that's the other
thing. I'm thinking they'll try that with
even
this bill.
Even if the SAVE Act passes statewide or federally, some judge is going to overturn it the next day.
Except who knows
what our Supreme Court will do. They're pretty feckless
these
days.
Know, because voter ID has already been adjudicated many times all the way up the court system and all the way to the Supreme Court, and they're not going to go against precedent.
It's done.
So they could challenge.
We do have a voter ID case that made it all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you remember what the case was?
It was way back. The biggest one, the most important, was, I think, Illinois.
Okay.
And it was one of the strictest ones in the country, and the Supreme Court ruled in their favor. And that pretty much put it to bed. It's okay to require voter ID. Obviously, you have to allow for helping people to get some of the documentation.
I would think that idea is already in our Constitution anyway without this law. I mean, obviously, you have to be a citizen to vote. I think any plain reading of the Constitution would bring that conclusion.
Well, the point that I always make is because it's in the Constitution, it is the power and the responsibility of the executive branch to make sure that that's what's going
on. Is what
he
Trump
has to
said.
He
said he was going to do that if they don't pass this SAVE
absolutely.
Act.
Absolutely. He has to make sure that the laws are being executed properly.
Right.
How are you going to do that without checking?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of arguments.
But this idea that Congress has to pass a law that's already in the. They tried that with the border. Oh, we need to pass a new law. I mean, Trump came along. He said you didn't need a new law. You just needed a new president.
But in this case, you have to pass it because too many states have gone the other direction
and they're
and
ignoring
are not
it.
And so too many people. I mean, look at dogs are voting. Come on. So, yeah. You will definitely have to reinstitute.
Well, people are going on dates with their AI, so anything could happen.
And what I'm hoping, too, is it will be just so difficult for a state to bifurcate their elections and twice as expensive to hold one under state laws for state and local elections and then a whole other one for the federal election that once the federal law becomes that they'll just kind of go with it eventually, you know, kicking and screaming in the case of California and a few others. But and I'm not talking in the next 2 years, but I'm saying eventually this is definitely going to push it in the right direction. But the other thing I want people to understand is that this patches a huge hole in this sinking ship of the way we handle our democratic processes. But there are other big holes in the ship. The ship is still sinking. So the SAVE Act is not going to rescue us entirely. It's a huge step in the right direction. It's going to make a very big difference. But there are too many other things that are allowing the entrance of manipulation and bad actors. And that's where we come in with the work that we've been doing is a second act that is already proposed in Congress at our behest. And that's kind of what I want to talk to your folks about tonight. We've been in the business, so to speak, for 15 years. And we have done all things the right way, which is how we got standing in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to speak for the voters of California. That's very difficult to get. But we started at the local level with elections officials, and then we went up to the state officials, and we had all of our documentation. We are still the only organization in the country that collects documentation under penalty of perjury, which makes it court actionable. Everybody else is just collecting hearsay, and so they can't take it anywhere. We have the goods, and we have 15 years of it. And so between that and the data research that our people have done, we can now bring to the process that, you know, here's the evidence, here's the proof. And so we determined over those 15 years by going up the chain, doing things the right way. Number one, it became clear that nobody with the authority to fix what was going wrong, that was going completely against the state laws, had any desire or incentive to do it. So then we took it up to the next level. And then what we found out is that we have a broken election system in California and the federal court system to some extent. We can't be counting on them either because they're either corrupt or lazy and they don't want to take on something as big as election integrity. So then we took it to the people. We did succeed in one lawsuit. We got a lot of cleanup in the voter rolls in California, although, you know, then they continue to put things back and they get messed up again. But now we've realized that the only choice we have is to take it to Congress. And so for the last year, we've been working with Advocates for Faith and Freedom. Together, we have taken all of our evidence and we have put together a proposal for election reform, widespread election reform. We did a lot of work in that proposal, making sure that Congress people and the senators would understand that it is their right to do that. They have supreme authority over federal elections. So even though the Constitution says that the states get to choose the time and manner and place of elections, the second half of that sentence is that Congress can supersede or do anything they want to in the case of federal elections because they have control over the federal, which is why they can impose voter ID and all that kind of thing for federal elections, but the states get to decide what they want to do for the state and local. So this document includes footnotes and citations to so much of our documentation, so much of our evidence proving that it's a problem, why it's a problem, how it has to be solved. And we put that into the hands of Mike Johnson, who is head of the Administrative Committee of the House, and he has a subcommittee under that committee on elections. And we put that into his hands in the spring of 2025. And in the fall of 2025, that committee has proposed a bill called the MEGA Act, Make Elections Great Again Act. And it includes all but two of the proposals in our proposal to Congress. So that cannot be a coincidence. It has to be a victory that they have looked at this and said, yeah, these things are important too. And they include a lot of things that President Trump has been talking about as well that are not in the Save America Act. And so I'm going to take some time to tell you what those elements are.
All right. Hold with us over the break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Always good to be joined by Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project.
Thank you so much. What's really important is the immediacy of all of this, Bob, because we can't count on having the perfect storm of just enough votes to get something passed once the midterms take effect. Who knows what's going to happen there? Historically, we may be in trouble. So right now, where we have mostly friendlies in that direction, we need to pass the rest of these things to impact elections in the United States. Otherwise, I truly honestly believe, and I know this is sounding a little over the top, but I believe the Republic is gone. If we do not do this, the Republic is gone.
I don't think we could handle the Democrats winning another major election. Certainly if they take over the Senate. If they take over the Senate, they're going to make other states Democrat. They will get rid of the filibuster in a heartbeat. They will pack the Supreme Court so that it's just loaded with liberals. I mean, it'll just be a nightmare, even if Trump's still president for 2 years. And they'll impeach him anyway.
So. And that certainly seems to be true. We're a nonpartisan organization. I just want to point out that all of the enemies to the Constitution and the way things ought to be done and the common sense and the law and order and all that are not just on the left side of the aisle. There are a great deal of people on both sides that are progressive.
I think a lot of Republicans compromise. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not a partisan issue, but it is a split in the philosophy and a lot of selling out of the American principles. And I'm hoping that this year of celebrating our 250th anniversary will bring a lot of more awareness to what the real American principles really are to people who've been either under, un, or miseducated about that over the last 50, 60 years so that we can get back to our roots and people understand why we are and always have been great. So,
and I also think that behind the scenes, pulling the puppet strings, are these communist infiltrators.
There's no question about that.
The George Soroses and people like that.
Tremendous infiltration.
And they love that, you know, they talk about gender identity and they talk about ICE. But what's really going on is it's just anti-America and they are trying to overthrow our republic.
Yeah. When you corrupt and corrode something at the core, then you can do anything you want.
And you get people divided. Divided in terms of race, in terms of gender, you just divide them any way you can.
Yeah. So that definitely is going on. And this is our perfect opportunity, the best we've had in my lifetime, to actually get these things fixed. And it's a very short window of time, which is why we're pushing for this so hard. The next really big item in this mega act now is handling the vote by mail issue.
COVID's the one that brought that in. It existed in some places, but COVID.
It's super charged it. Let's put it that way. A lot of states, California.
You know, military people voting by mail, that was fine, but the COVID thing just made a nightmare out of it.
Well, at that point, we had four states that were already voting all by mail and they had no opportunity to vote in person. And Jimmy Carter and James Baker made it very clear in their study of vote by mail in 2005, a presidential commission, that that's the number one tool for fraud in the nation. That hasn't changed. It still is. It's a huge ability to manipulate.
Jimmy Carter wasn't criticizing it when it was done in 2020, was he? It was a whole different time in our history.
I don't know where he was at with it, but he's always been a great election integrity advocate, always, because at the very beginning of his career, he almost had it scuttled before it started because of election corruption, and he's always been very, very negative about any kind of corruption. And so he understood that the vote-by-mail ballot is a very bad thing. And people don't understand when they choose, like in California, you get to choose whether to vote by mail or to go and vote in person, and they choose the easy button. They choose to vote by mail. They do not understand the challenges that they are submitting their vote to and the potential that the vote they turn in will not be the one that was counted in their name. They don't understand that.
Well, you've talked about this before. I have. People could sit there and go, oh, look how many Republican votes we're getting. We better create a bunch more Democrats.
And they're always happy to say, oh, well, it's not a problem because I got a note back from the registrar saying that they've got my vote and they counted it. But you have no idea if they counted it the way you marked it. There are too many things that happen along the way in there. And so,
well, during the attempt to recall Newsom, Brendan went down to the polls and they told him that he'd already voted.
Yep,
he said, no, I didn't. They said, yes, you did.
Well, you can fight that. And that's what we've tried to do is educate people that you don't just roll over and say, okay, fine, I'll vote provisionally. But there are ways to go about that. But yeah, that's part of the manipulation as well. But this whole, you know, sending universal ballots out to everybody that did really explode in 2020. And a lot of states saw the damage it did and they pulled back after 2020. California said, oh man, this was great. And then they finally decided to make that a permanent thing. And so now we went from just over 60% of people who slowly had become all vote-by-mail voters. And then in 2020, it just shot up to 90%. And it's between 85 and 90% now of people in California who simply choose to do it that way because they can't be bothered to get up and go vote in person. And no one will talk to them, except us, I guess, about what they are risking with their vote in order to do that. So, but that's certainly something that Donald Trump has been talking a lot about.
Now, I know election integrity doesn't endorse a candidate, but are they looking into what happened in 2020? Because that certainly seemed like a fraudulent presidential election to me. And are they looking at that in its own right to get that studied and
investigated? I think the 2020 election is pretty much a slam dunk nationwide. That's been proven now. What we have
A lot of people that still deny that. And they'll call you an election denier if you
and
try
they
to say
it
that
deny
Trump
it because
really
they benefited from the way that
and
election
I've
turned out.
I've been saying over the air that I think the day's going to come where they're going to revel in it and say, oh yeah, we cheated, but Trump was Hitler.
Well,
so we're glad we cheated.
That's
we're
been
proud
pretty
of
much
cheating.
Proven now. But we have a lot of evidence that the 2022 in California was highly manipulated. And we've put out a lot of articles about that. It's still on our website. You know, the number of ballots that were counted with no voter in the voter history to assign to those ballots. In other words, many more votes counted than there were people recorded as having voted in that election. We still have an action going against the Secretary of State and Los Angeles
County. This was
County.
Also the recall election, right?
And the recall. And the 2021
was
the recall.
Okay.
Yeah. And both of those both were of those. Highly manipulated. And we've got all the evidence. But again, we can't get the courts to take it up because it's just too scary for them. And so that's why we've moved on from that for now. But we have got to stop this voting by mail just because you want to.
The very idea of a judge not taking something because it's scary, they should not
be judges if they're afraid to deal with things.
But that's exactly what's happening. So we had four states. We had Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Hawaii that were all vote by mail prior to 2020. And then a lot of them really extended the vote by mail during COVID, even though I don't feel like there was any necessity to do that. And then a lot of states pulled back again. But there are a lot of states now that have what California had before, which is you can vote by mail if you want to. All you have to do is ask. And then once you ask once, we'll put you on the permanent list. So you don't have to ask every time. And you don't have to have any qualifications or reasons just because
people
you want
to. People will always take the easy way if you and offer
that,
it to them.
And that has to change. So that's another big element in our proposal, and that's in the MEGA Act, is to go back to the true absentee ballot that is applied for every election, and that there is a good reason you have to show for needing it. Otherwise, get off your couch and go vote. Okay, so that's one of the things we really have to solve. Another thing that's growing and growing and growing in this country are states allowing ballots to come in after Election Day and be counted. During 2020,
that should not be happening.
During 2020, California imposed a 17-day grace period on ballots. So ballots could come in 17 days after Election Day and still be counted.
Look how much time it gives them to fix and cheat and come up with more ballots.
No question, because even though it was supposed to be postmarked by Election Day, there were lots of exceptions. Well, if you can't read the postmark, or if the postmark's not there, then all you have to do is take the voter's word for the date that they cast that ballot. I mean,
well, if they can nothing defend could possibly somebody as being wrong. Too dumb to get an ID, they can defend them as being too dumb to get a postmark.
Anyway, so, and then now, of course, the post office has put out a warning that their process has changed, and they can no longer guarantee that the day you put the something in the mail will be the date that it's postmarked. And so that creates a big challenge for, you know, postmarking ballots on time. So we just simply need to say no ballots received after 8 p.m. on election night. Period, the end. You've got plenty of time. If you are voting by mail, you've got, in California, you've got 30 days to vote. In one or two other states, they have a 45-day before Election Day where you can start mailing out the vote by mail ballots. And that's ridiculous. So oddly enough, California then pulled it back after 2020, pulled it back to a 7-day grace period. So we have 7 days. There are some states that are worse. They have 14-day grace periods for getting these late ballots in. And that is a huge ability to just have a fraudulent election. So that's another element of the MEGA Act, saying no, ballots in on time, period, the end. Vote in person unless you have permission. And then if you're going to vote by mail, get them in on time. Another thing that we requested and that they put in the MEGA Act was prohibiting ranked choice voting, which is an entire show, Bob. And it's an entire show of what's wrong with
that. Isn't that more or less what got Lisa Murkowski the governor's seat in Alaska? I think they did ranked voting.
She's not the governor, but it is what...
The senator, I meant.
But it's it's what defeated Sarah Palin up there, even though she was the winner. But the way ranked choice voting works, you don't ever get the winner actually being the winner. It's usually one of the least popular
candidates.
That's
our next governor election in California, ranked choice, isn't it?
No.
It's not?
No.
Oh, I thought it was.
No. In California, ranked choice voting at this point is
only... It's in the primaries, right?
No, that's the top two. That's a different one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds very similar to ranked
choice. Not at all. But the ranked choice voting is now allowed in California only by local choice at school boards. But boy, there are so many people trying to push that on all of California elections because you can rig it. It's not auditable.
So explain how California works, because I was hearing ranked choice, jungle primary, all these different terms, but explain to us what that
all means. I will. In fact, they're two entirely different things, but we requested also in our proposal that they eliminate the jungle or the top two primary because, again, it's anti-democratic, okay? And it is a real element of voter suppression. And so we're asking them to add that because they left it out. But with the top two in a primary, and this does not include the presidential, but it includes everything else, that everybody running, regardless of their party, all appear on the ballot, and every single person gets that entire ballot, and you vote for your top person.
See, that's what to me sounded like ranked choice, because they're essentially not allowing a party to nominate their own
candidate. Correct. But with ranked choice, now that you've got your choices, here's your choice of the people that are running for this office.
Oh, and then you vote second choice.
First choice, second choice, third choice, fourth. And, and as they process the ballots, they keep going down to look at people's second, third, fourth, fifth, six choices until one person rises to the top with 51%. And it might be the last choice that most people picked, but they've got to vote by their name now because you had to rank. And if you don't rank, now you are not even part of the decision making because they throw your ballot out as soon as you get to the rank. So it's insidious and it's horrible.
So somebody through that could hypothetically win through a lot of second place and third place votes being accumulated, and maybe nobody voted for that person? For
yes, first choice? Okay. Absolutely.
All right. That's almost Thank you for clarifying that for me. All right. Yeah. We'll be right back with one more segment of The Bob Siegel Show.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, "What?" By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Ruth Wise.
Thanks, Bob. I think the last element that I really want to talk about in our proposal to Congress, which they need to kind of tighten up in the MEGA Act, is technology. Every piece of technology is hackable, and there's no way to prevent it. And if something can be hacked, you can guarantee it's being hacked. So we want to eliminate all of these voting machines and ballot marking devices and QR codes and all of these things that are proprietary and nobody can check to see if they're working right or not. We want that out of our election system. We want paper ballots. We want voting in person. We want hand marked. We want hand counted at the precinct level. We want California to start telling its citizens and the nation who won our elections 24 hours after election day instead of 30 full days after election day. That's ridiculous. We're the laughing stock, and it's because of the way we do these things. So that's the other really big element in MEGA that we need to get through. This MEGA Act is vital. I cannot emphasize that enough. It's vital.
And so we're not getting a lot of press on that. We're all hearing about the SAVE Act from coast to coast, but this is good that you're talking about the MEGA Act.
We don't want to be pushing that too hard until we get through the SAVE Act.
Yeah, one thing at a time,
right. But then it is already, though, hit in Congress and it's already proposed. So all we have to do is start working on it then as soon as the SAVE Act is gone. In the text of the MEGA Act, it should take effect in the beginning of 2027. And so it will affect the presidential election in 28. That will be a monumental change. But we're going to need the public support. Just like we have the public support for the SAVE America Act now, we're going to need to get more people understanding what's in MEGA and why it's equally important and get the people a little more interactive with their own representatives in Congress. And so I'm really hoping that everyone in the sound of my voice will go to our website. It's EIP-CA.com. EIP stands for Election Integrity Project. So EIP-CA.com and sign up to receive our emails. Right now we have a series of articles coming out once a week. On Mondays you get the next installment, breaking all this down, explaining one element at a time, what it is, why it's necessary, what our documentation has shown is why we need it, all that argumentation. They're brief articles, very readable and understandable. And then we're asking people to take those articles and send them out through their social media, share them with everybody they know, with email or however it is that you share information with people, because I think the public has gotten into the situation that we're in now with being manipulated in our elections simply because we trusted everybody and we didn't pay attention and we didn't hang on to the concept of self-governance enough, and they just slipped this all past us, and now here we are in this situation just barely with our head above water, and we need to reverse that, turn it around. And so the first thing is education. We need to make sure people know about this MEGA Act. Just like now, I think nationwide, they know about the SAVE Act, and that's why they're coming forward and speaking to their senators now and saying, you know, get off the dime here. That's what we want to happen with MEGA. So first of all, we're about three articles into this series. There'll be about 11 total pieces of it to explain the full thing. So we want people to go to our website, read the articles they've missed that get posted, and then receive them in your own inbox as they come out through the next couple of months until we're done with the 11 elements. And after that, the articles that will coming out will be what we do every year when an election is looming, is that we give voter information, things that you need to know. For example, what you brought up a few minutes ago, what do you do when you go to the polls and they tell you, hey, you've already voted? Because people just go, ah, and they don't know what to do. We give that information ahead of time so that there's this voter information for people to understand what their rights are, what they should do, what's the wisest way to vote to make your voice heard and to protect your ballot. So, you know, we don't inundate you with things, but we do about once a week give you an opportunity to learn something really important to protect this republic. And so we're asking that people get on board with us and help us with that.
Well, what else is on your horizon?
Well, we are going to be taking a lot of trips to D.C. this year, I think, to do some lobbying.
Have you met Mike Johnson personally? You said that your proposal got to him, but
yes,
have you personally met him?
Yes, and we've been on several phone calls.
Well, you're moving up in the world.
And we're hoping, we've already been to D.C. once and visited a lot of offices, but that was a very difficult day. It was the day that Charlie Kirk was assassinated.
Oh my gosh.
So that kind of got in the middle of what
of
we
course.
Were doing, you know. Yeah. But we will be going. We will be talking to people who can help move these things along and who are friendlies. And then we were going to encourage people to talk to their own people. It doesn't matter whether your own representative is a friendly or not. They still record tallies on what you call in about, what you send a note in about. They record that. And they do take the temperature. I know they don't appear to care, and to some extent they don't, but they still take the temperature of what people are saying if people take the trouble to simply call in. And I think people need to know, too, that you don't have to write this long letter and justifying why you believe X, Y, Z, because they don't read that. All you have to do is write one sentence. I oppose this bill. Please represent me properly and vote against it. Or, you know, that kind of
that's
thing. Because that's all they write down.
That is good to know.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to put a lot of effort into
it. No, you don't. And if you make a phone call.
And if they're not going to read it anyway.
If you make a phone call, same thing. If you get a real person, you simply say, I'm so-and-so from, I'm a constituent. I'd like to ask the senator, the representative, the assemblyman, whoever it is, to represent me properly by voting against this bill or voting for this bill. That's all you have to say. You don't
just
have to justify.
Call and say your policy sucks, get it out of there, or you're dead in the next election.
And you want to be very polite, and, you know, whatever, but be affirmative and be assertive, right?
Yes.
And then we want people to know that sending an email, same thing. You know, it's just very easy to do. The other thing that we have that hopefully people will look at is an organization organization called CALA. It's holding your legislature in California accountable. And they make this contacting your legislator a breeze, like a 30-second thing, because they do all the work for you. You tell them what your senatorial district, what your assembly district is, and they contact you only when your particular representative is going to cast a vote on something that's,
oh, that's interesting,
in a committee or on the floor. And then they give you a link directly to how to contact that person. So just only 30 seconds to do. And then after the vote, they contact you again and say, thought you'd like to know how your representative voted, just so that you might either thank them or call them again and say, hey, what happened, if you want to. But it's super easy to do. And so if you go to, I think it's CALA.org, and just get on their list, it will really amplify the people's voice in California, in the California legislature. And they need to hear from us, because they do what they want to do because they haven't been hearing from us. And so it makes a very big difference to get involved with that. And that's over multiple, I mean, people that feed into CALA are all of these other organizations that fight for parental rights and property rights and Second Amendment rights and everything. It's not just election integrity. It's everything that your legislature might be doing to you to turn you out of a free society and into one that's under control. So it's very important.
Getting back to this run around the filibuster, or I guess going back to the true filibuster, do you think they're going to try this for the government shutdown too? You talked about it in relation to the SAVE Act.
Boy, I cannot even imagine what they think they're gaining with this government shutdown.
It's just if Trump's for it, we're against it. That's what they think.
It didn't work the last time. They had to back down. It hurt people, and it's hurting
hurting everybody except ICE, the people that they say is the object.
Because they're already fully funded.
Yes, exactly.
And they're hurting their own people. At some point, they're going to get turned on and say, why are you doing this to me? I mean, the same way that Mamdani is already getting turned on in New York. Because
he raised property taxes on all the people that voted for him.
Yeah,
I'm only going to raise the taxes on the rich. And then we find out he defined rich as anybody that works.
Yeah. Well, people need to get involved, especially in California, because if you look at what's coming down the pike in the legislature, they are trying to impose that billionaire tax. They really want that. They really want that.
They're going to lose every billionaire. Every billionaire is going to just leave. Yeah.
You know, they've already lost half the billionaires. So now and they proposed this more than once, and I know they're going to keep proposing it until they finally get it through, is that they want to impose a tax that if you leave California,
then you still have to pay taxes.
For 10 years after you leave California, you would be.
Would they be able to really hold that up if you're living in another state, though?
I think that's unconstitutional, but it would take a long court battle for them to lose that.
Wow.
You know, so this is the kind of thing your California legislature and your current regime is trying
to do.
Now,
is that going to apply to people that are just ordinary citizens who aren't millionaires? Are they going to tell them
everybody.
So anybody that leaves California is going to stop to pay taxes for 10 years?
That's what they want. That's what they want. They've proposed it more than once. It's not currently on the board, but it's in the wings and waiting, ready to go. So yeah.
It makes your head spin. Okay, well, Ruth, it's always extremely informative. I always love having you on the show. This is Bob Siegel. We will see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.